What in the world is going on? Stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first. And on satellite at Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're listening to Financial Survival, sponsored by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. And I am Melody Cederstrom, and thank you for joining us today, July 6, 2005. Today we will be taking calls after the break at the bottom of the hour. That number to call is 559-781-3773. Remember to speak loudly, as it is difficult to hear, and remember there might be someone waiting to call in also, so if possible, be brief and to the point with your questions and or comments. And again, that number is 559-781-3773. For those of you on the Internet, you can email me at discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com if you prefer to do it by email instead of telephone. And if you're on the Internet, make sure you check out discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. That is .net, discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. I came across an interesting article today, and if you have the Internet access, go to Americans for a Free Republic. The article is titled, You Are Trapped in a Box Canyon, Stupid, by Wayne N. Krautkramer. And he talks about the decline of this country and how the past 40 years the U.S. has been an interesting study in group suicide. But what I'm bringing this article to your attention for is because he writes how a socialist industrial system fails. The socialist industrial systems fail incrementally. Each subsystem fails, and a temporary patch is applied. And when we talk about manipulations, those are your temporary patches. First, the roads and bridges deteriorate, then the power, the water, and finally the food distribution systems malfunction. It's a pretty good article, and if you have a chance, read the article by Wayne N. Krautkramer at Americans for a Free Republic. Let's go ahead and go to gold. Gold is up 80 cents today at $423.60. Silver is up 9 cents at $6.93. Platinum is up $4 at $868. And palladium is unchanged from yesterday at $193. Oil closed above $60 today, so get ready. And with that, I'll cut my opening short. Remember, for your gold and silver coins, quality service, competitive pricing, 1-800-375-4188. Now let's go to my co-host, who's with me on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, Mr. Robert Chapman. He is the editor and publisher of the International Forecaster. And the International Forecaster is a newsletter that does excel above all. And Bob, good afternoon to you.
Well, good afternoon to you also, and all you listeners. I'm very happy to be back again today. The Dow Jones was down 101 points. S&P was down the equivalent of around 92 Dow points. And NASDAQ didn't do as badly. It was off 10 points, which is about 60 Dow points. The yen was up today. The Canadian dollar was up slightly. The pound was down a little bit. And oil, 61.27, unchanged. It was up all day. It's the outside month. Natural gas, 7.67. Down 2 pennies, it was up all day. And so, what's going on? Oh, there goes the euro, 1.1930. That was up about 0.1 penny today. So it just barely held its own. I guess there's a lot of short covering going on, and I think a lot of traders are setting positions. Now you ask yourself, why did the market do what it did today? And it was up yesterday, as we all know. Well, it's because yesterday the Fed went bananas and they added $20 billion in repurchase agreements, which caused the repo pool to rise to approximately $95 billion. And that gives the Fed's 21 agents about $135 billion to play with for the day, yesterday. So they took gold down, they took the market up, and that's what our government does all the time in conjunction with the Federal Reserve. And so, anyway, today was just the opposite. Gold moved up 80 cents, the market was down 100 points, and they did not add to the repo pool. You see, it's getting harder and harder for the Fed to move the market essentially by itself. And that's going to get harder and harder as it goes on in any capacity. And that would be in moving the Dow, S&P, NASDAQ stocks, gold and silver, platinum, commodities, the Dow Jones, the S&P, and the NASDAQ indexes. Believe me, they are manipulating as much as they can, as often as they can, or when they have to. And that's why I got a piece coming out this week, and I can't remember whether it's in the next issue or the last, but 74% of the trades being done, I think it was between June 24th and June 30th, were done by program trading. I mean, that's just a formula. And certain things happen, and they're buyers or they're sellers. And I would say that probably an additional 20 to 25% is being done by institutions of one form or another. That means that the people in the stock market who have individual accounts are down less than 5% of the action in the market. I mean, that is incredible. And, you know, the reason for that is that because people think there's something wrong. And they don't know what it is because they don't understand what we do. But they're very, very disturbed about it. And that's why they're not investing in the markets. Sure, they get 401ks and IRAs and pension plans monies that they have go into those entities. But they're generally out of the market, and quite frankly, rightly so. And, you know, the professionals in CNBC and other programs that cater to the market all look the other way. Oh, there couldn't be manipulation. It's just impossible. Oh, I got news for you. There is. Bank credit expanded in the first quarter $1.054 trillion, taking bank credit in the up to $7 trillion. This is a growth of 13.4% just in the first quarter. And in terms of credit growth, this is the greatest inflation orgy in history. The Economist magazine calls the real estate boom larger than the stock market bubble of 2000. What we have is a habitual expansion of money and credit that is responsible for booms and busts. And the U.S. fiscal deficit officially last year was $427 billion. But if you add in the Social Security, you come up to $609 billion. And they said that the budget for this year, which ends September the 30th of this year, it's a fiscal year as opposed to calendar, that deficit was supposed to be, that estimate, was supposed to be $427 billion. Yesterday, they surpassed that. And it looks like we're going to be higher than $609 billion for last year. I figure it'll come in, including Social Security, somewhere around $640, $650 billion. And so the federal government is making no headway whatsoever. And tax receipts, even though taxes have been lowered, tax receipts are up. And that's because the economy has not turned down as yet. It's sputtering in some places, but it has not turned down as yet. The Office of Management and Budget projects that $186 billion in excess Social Security payments will be applied to the budget deficit for next year. So if I'm right, and we go to, I'm trying to think of a figure here now, 25 times 3, if we come in about $500 billion in the deficit for the fiscal year, and we add on 186, the real deficit will be $686 billion, up from $609 billion last year. So we keep on going deeper and deeper and deeper into debt. And quite frankly, anybody with half a brain knows that is not very good. And I have I just called the figure $680 billion. Actually, the U.S. Office of Management and Budget is calling for $795 billion. So my figure is pretty conservative. And that's $66 billion per month and represents an annual increase of 10.78% in the debt for the year. And if you throw in the trade deficit, which is about $130 billion a month, so what's that, $1.5 trillion? I mean, you're talking about some real money, aren't you? Ed Dirksen used to say that, the senator from Illinois, I think he was. What's a billion here and a billion there, you know? Now we talk about trillions. This shows you the degeneration of the dollar as a currency unit. And, people have got to realize that what we're talking about here is fact. And what we're talking about here is for sure going to happen. I mean, we've got all the numbers, and there's no way around it. And we are going to have financial problems in America. And it'll definitely happen next year. And when it'll start, I don't know. But I think it's in process. But particularly in the real estate area. I think markets are topping. There's higher inventories on sold homes. In some areas, prices are still going up. And there's a lot more speculation in the market than people think there is. They're talking about one-third of homes are being used as second homes or for speculative purposes. I get a report here. I haven't read it yet. It was written by a friend of mine in Los Angeles, and it just was released today. He just sent it to me. I've got to read it and see what he says. But I think that there's a good possibility the major markets in real estate are going to top. And they're going to top before the year is out. And I noticed that the U.S. 10-year has been trading in the between 406 and 410 on a yield basis. And we get a 382 on the 5-year, which is, 5-year is going to come up here in a minute. I'm watching the tape. The 5-year is 386. The 10-year, these are the yields, is 407. The spread is 14 and 7 is 21 basis points, which is not very much. And so people would be more prone to purchase 5-year paper than 10 because that 0.20 increase in yield really isn't worth it. That yield on the 10-year, which is used to set the 30-year fixed mortgage, which we use as a guideline, that's just moved up from 370. And so I would expect rates, which went up slightly last week, 3 or 4 basis points, I think the rates will move up another 10 this week, which would put them somewhere around 570, 568 to 572. And that's not going to put a damper on people buying homes, but if it continues to move up like that, the yield in the 10-year, which is the same as what is used to do the mortgage rate, then we're going to have higher mortgage rates. Could you take it from there?
Sure, I can and I will. It was interesting when we're talking about the economy. June job cuts were the highest since January 2004. Job cuts jumped 35% in June, with the number of layoff announcements pushing the monthly total to its highest level since January of last year. And when we talk about the real estate market, and even at the 5.70, it's not going to put too much of a damper in the real estate market, but a job being lost will certainly hurt the real estate market, as they no longer can afford their payments that they've gone into way over their head because of the ARM. So it's important when employers announced 110, almost 111,000 job cuts in June compared to 82,000 in May, and that's according to a monthly report issued by Challenger Gray and Merry Christmas. June job cuts rose 73% from the year-ago period. So far this year, 538,000 job cuts have been announced this year, 14% more than the six-month total of 472,000 last year. So, again, despite the reports that we have a strong economy and that the economy continues to grow, our jobs are not growing. And, again, we continue to hear massive layoff announcements in the auto and the retail sectors that probably contributed to the surprise June number. Although to people who listen to programs like this, it truly is not too much of a surprise, as we know how a lot of these figures are manipulated. And when we have these massive job cuts, the U.S. auto industry cut 45,000 jobs in June, and 24,000 job cuts were made in the retail industry. So the pace of job cutting in the second half of 2005 is expected to stay ahead of last year as employers continue to close facilities and consolidate in order to achieve maximum efficiency. Welcome to the good old U.S. of A.
You sound terrific.
Pardon?
You sound terrific.
I sound terrific. Do I sound
like... you're doing a great job.
Do I sound like a news broadcaster?
No, you sound better.
Oh, okay.
But you don't want to go on. You don't want to go on CNBC or ABC or NBC or CBS, because I don't think you'd fit. They'd say, well, "Gee, I think that lady's, you know, probably crazy."
Well, speaking of those idiots on ABC and CNBC, this morning they were talking about gasoline prices. And the one guy was actually sitting there like he was calculating in his little old mind about how, with the increase of gasoline prices, that it only affects his pocketbook by $5 or $6 a week. And he can't imagine how that could affect the normal American out there. And I'm thinking to myself, well, what's he figuring? Did he forget that just a few short years ago we were paying, you know, a little over a dollar? And now we're close to, you know, if you get premium, it's close to $2.50. So it's like they don't even calculate those numbers properly, and I assure you it's more than $5 to $6 a week.
Well, it's really tragic, and quite frankly, a $50 oil is here to stay, and I expect oil, the next move, will move up into the $70, $72 area. And I think that there's a possibility that oil could sell for $100 a barrel before the year is out. The two most important times of the year for gasoline and distillate consumption, and distillates are heating oil, are in the third and fourth quarter of the year. And another fact here that I get from the Department of Energy yesterday is that the growth for oil was not, and this is America, 484,000 barrels a day, but in fact, it was 697,000 barrels a day, and that's the difference of 113,000 barrels of oil a day that they had made an error on. That's a 45.83% error. And it means that demand growth in the United States was not 2.4%. It was, in fact, 3.5%. And so we've been gobbling up oil like lickety-split, and the Saudis are talking about adding 500,000 barrels a day, and it's medium grade, which is fiat poor oil, and about 10%, 20% maybe. And the other 80% is sludge. I mean, the stuff that comes out of the Orinoco, Delta in Venezuela is the same. It costs a lot of money to refine it. It's very difficult to refine. And people don't want to buy heavy oil, as it's called. And so that's not going to help very much.
Bob,
the pressure is up. Now, wait a minute. I'm not even talking about some untoward event. I mean, if we had another thing like 9/11 anywhere in the world, then the oil prices would just go crazy. If we had something very detrimental happen in the Middle East, it could fly in a snap to $100 a barrel. You know, I read an article this weekend on the fact that the United States is secretly building a new military base in Israel, and it's mega. I've seen pictures of it, and we don't reproduce pictures, so I can't show them to you. And we have all of the research on it. It was done by somebody else, I think maybe Iran might get upset about that. And, you know, maybe there will be a war in the Middle East, and, you know, oil prices could go to $150 a barrel. So with that said, those possibilities exist. And so you're talking about the average price throughout the United States right now for a gallon of low lead gasoline is $2.10. Actually, it's $2.11. The record is $2.18. It'll blow right through there sometime between now and the end of the year. Now, if oil is $60 a barrel now, in round figures, and it goes to 100, I would think that those prices would double. And so you'd be looking at, you know, $4.20 a gallon. And incidentally, you may not like this, but that's what most of the rest of the world, except for oil-producing countries, are paying. Now, gasoline prices in Venezuela and Nigeria, Mexico, Norway, they all run pretty much near market prices. And the reason that that happens is either the government owns a piece of it or owns it all. And so when, well, let's say that in the United States, on average, gasoline prices went from $2.10 to $4.20, you can rest assured that the gasoline prices in those countries that produce will go up almost as much, if not as much. And so if that happens, and, you know, today a lot of people do a lot of driving back and forth to work or in industry or whatever, that's going to really increase costs. And that means that the consumer boom will be over. And if the consumer boom is over, and right now about 73% of all of what we do is in consumption, and if that were to drop back to 65 to 70%, the stock market would head south in a real hurry. And so my comment on what you had to say regarding oil.
You know, Bob, our consumption of oil continues to rise. Isn't the majority of that rise due to the war? I mean, I just find it very hard to believe, based on, you know, job losses, based on what I see and how quiet towns are during the weekend, the traffic has decreased considerably. It can't be coming from, I mean, how can the people afford? I'm sorry, it's more than $6 a week that it impacts their pocketbooks. And even though the interest rates aren't rising in their home mortgages, it certainly is in their credit cards. So, you know, I mean, you know their minimums are rising on their credit cards. Those rates are rising. So who is consuming all this oil?
No, I don't have an answer for that in front of me. You know, you may not see it, but there's, you know, every day there's more cars, more trucks on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, example is this past month, General Motors sales were way up because they essentially gave vehicles away to keep the assembly line going.
Yeah, but they didn't get.
And they've been really doing that for 3 years. And as in all economic thought, the law of diminishing returns takes over. And what is that? Well, it means that if you produce enough cars long enough in a market that doesn't need them, the prices are going to fall. And so you can get a good line on that by watching the used car market. But anyway, General Motors has shot it because Ford is dropping their prices down to what they call the prices that GM employees receive for purchasing vehicles.
Chrysler's doing the same thing,
and
too.
And essentially, who?
Chrysler.
Oh, yeah, I didn't catch that.
No, that just came out of
But anyway, you've got a station break right now, I think, don't you?
Yes, we do, and we'll be right back in about 3 minutes. Stay tuned. Now we'll see you soon, and Mr. Robert Sanders. Stay tuned.
Listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
record budget deficits, bankruptcies galore, and the U.S. dollar is at an all-time low. With today's gloomy economic outlook, safe investments are often hard to find. For over a decade, Melody Cederstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading Company has been helping people secure their future by investing in the precious metals. Melody has the honesty, integrity, and experience that is often lacking in the precious metals business. Let her put it to work for you. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at firstamendmentradio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at firstamendmentradio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on firstamendmentradio.com are listener-supported. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at firstamendmentradio.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from firstamendmentradio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at firstamendmentradio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you?
In this day of economic uncertainty and soaring unemployment, safe investments are often hard to find. But investing in the precious metals is the safest investment of all, because gold and silver is real money. Government printed currency is not. Call Melody Cederstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading Company at 1-800-375-4188. Melody has been helping people secure their financial future for over 10 years. While others in the business claim honesty, Melody will deliver. Give her a call. 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Out there and you have a question or even a comment, you can do so by calling 559-781-3773. We talked about how GM went ahead and increased its sales for the month, but I didn't see a breakout or a breakdown as far as the vehicles that were sold. Usually they will have a breakout. They're usually very proud of their SUV sales. And I didn't see that, and it would be interesting to know whether or not a lot of SUVs were traded in for smaller vehicles because of the price of gasoline. But I didn't see any, and I didn't see any special reports.
I was looking for those numbers too, and I didn't see them either.
Nope.
Well, you know, still in the oil vein to an extent is the developments that are going on in regard to the CNOOC, which made an offer to purchase for cash Unocal, a major U.S. oil company. CNOOC is 71% owned by the Communist Party, which runs China. Now, digress a minute here. Every time we allow a Chinese government that is communist to trade with us, we're taking a big risk. And the risk is, in the event of war with them or anybody else, we may have a hard time having them manufacture for us the things that we need to conduct war. Now, if they don't do that, then it's going to make it very difficult to have a defensive or offensive war. Now, we're only producing 13% of our manufactured goods right now, and that's down from about 25% 25 years ago. And you can see the tremendous inroads others have made in our manufacturing process, as well as the Chinese, who have gotten a bulk of what we do. And incidentally, 400 of the biggest international, transnational conglomerates, which are run by elitists, 400 out of 500 are manufacturing in China. And so China needs oil. And the response, of course, by Congress has been aggressive, hypocritical, and the same with the administration. And they should have came to terms a long time ago that free trade and globalization doesn't work. Never has, never will. And so they didn't do that. And so now they're backed into a corner by someone who wants to use some of the money that they made in the process of dealing with the United States in dollars, and they want to buy an oil company, which is, you know, close to a very, very important thing that they have to do. I mean, they got to have oil. And of course, the Chinese are furious, and that's compounded too by the fact that Russia kept U.S. oil companies essentially out of the Caspian, at least Russian section of the Caspian Sea, and in the surrounding areas that, that produce oil or can produce oil. And the U.S. previously had preempted China's attempts to build oil pipelines from the Caspians into China. So they have no direct line, so to speak, from the source over land. Now, Unocal's attraction is that all their reserves are in Central and Southeast Asia. And, you know, the question is, where is this all going to lead? Well, if tariffs are imposed, these transnational elitist corporations won't make as much money, and it'll cause inflation. And also, if the Chinese are not allowed to purchase the oil company, I would think that they might do some selling of treasury paper, which would run interest rates higher. And if that happens, mortgage rates go higher, and the boom in real estate is over. And, you know, nobody thinks about it, but I want you to think about this. Suppose the Chinese get really upset, start dumping dollars, and make a move on Taiwan. Now, that's very possible. If that were to happen, I would think that oil would probably go to $100 a barrel. I would think that gold would go over $500 an ounce. And I would think that the bond market, bond yields would increase. And I would think the New York Stock Exchange and the real estate market would really take a terrible shellacking. And so you've got a situation here that has to do with oil that's enormously explosive. We should have never let it go this far. But, you know, the greed in Washington and New York knows no bounds. And, you know, a week ago, Russia and China signed some economic agreements, and one of which was the Russian oil company Rosneft and China's National Petroleum Corporation, which is CNOOC, The Russians are going to supply China with oil, and they're going to do joint exploration and development on the Shakhalin Island. Actually, there's more than one of the Shakhalin Islands, and that's off the east coast of Russia. And you remember the Shakhalin incident in which South Korean flight 007 was shot down by the Russian Air Force, and supposedly everyone was lost, but I have my own ideas about that. The reason the plane was taken down is that South Korea's three top counterintelligence operators were on board, as was Larry McDonald, who was on the board of the John Birch Society. And I have several books on the subject. And quite frankly, I think that before the plane did not go down, I think it was taken down, and I think those people are being held. And I felt this way for many years based on that information and information I received from a very good friend of mine who died a couple of years ago, called Hilaire de Bellier, who was a very famous writer. And we were very good friends for about 35, 40 years. But anyway, Russia and China were working very close together. And if we push China far enough, we could see Russia and China get together with a bunch of other countries, like India and Brazil and Iran and Syria. And the U.S. could have some major problems and a major war. And quite frankly, they're asking for it. And just the right combination of events can come together. And if they were to come together, you know, we could see a bloodbath internationally. So there's a lot riding on what's going on here. And, you know, another thing, too, as far as what's going on in the Middle East, we've had a lot of other foreign troops that came to help, so to speak, that have been moving out. Now Poland's pulling out their entire contingent. There's about 1,700. Italy has 3,000 troops. They're coming out as soon as possible. The Netherlands has 800 troops, and the Ukraine 1,600. They're being phased out right now. Bulgaria is pulling its 500 troops, and the British are planning to withdraw. And so we already have just 100,000 people on the ground over there. And how do I come to that conclusion? Well, we've got 5,500 deserters. We get about 7,200 people killed, and we have 25,000 wounded. So that's about 13 and 25. That's about 38. They say 100. They have 140 over there. They got 100, and they may not even have that. And with all these troops pulling out, that could, you know, generate real problems. And I think, you know, I've got some stuff in here on the next issue that came from somebody who was at the Bilderberger meeting as an employee. And some of the commentary between the European contingent and the Americans was that, you know, how can you have another war in Iran? It's impossible. You can't even do the job that you're trying to do in Iraq right now. And so unless something extraordinary happens, I don't think they're going into Iran in a big hurry. And they can't get out of Iraq and Afghanistan, both of which are not going well for them. And they're not going terrible for them, but they're not doing well. And people are dying every day. And I get a piece in here. I got to pull it out here. And while I'm doing that, pick up on the program for a minute or two while I find this. This just came off Reuters, and I want to bring it to your attention. So, Melody, talk for a few minutes here so I can look into this.
Okay. And I do have a question when you come back, but two interesting things that I saw today on the news wire. Halliburton won a $5 billion contract from the army, and my thought, I thought, well, gee, I wonder how much did Halliburton
have. That's how to reward failure.
Yeah, how much did...
How to reward failure.
Well, how much did Halliburton have to do with making sure the Army met its requirements, its recruitment requirements? Halliburton probably told their employees to make sure your kids enlist in the Army because that's the only way we can get our money. But anyway, they got a $5 billion contract. That's
yeah.
just incredible. And also, my question, I have a question about China and the... what type of leverage does the U.S. have, and how important is it to the U.S. to have the yuan or the yuan revalued? Will that play into China wanting the Unical? Because I figured that's what the U.S. will...
Years ahead of the dominant media, find out first.
Valued. Will that play into China wanting the Unical? Because I figured that's what the U.S. will allow China to buy Unical by making them revalue their currency by a certain percentage.
I think that the protest for revaluation of the yuan is phony, because the result of that will be that the value of the yuan goes up, and that means that they don't have to go into the market with money that they, Chinese, have printed to buy dollars to keep the value of the yuan from appreciating, because they're going to let it appreciate. So they don't have to go in and buy any 10 or 5 or whatever it is year treasury paper. It relieves them of doing that. It takes a major buyer out of the market. And so revaluation for China gives no help to the United States, I promise you. And you got to remember, for everybody else is getting paid a buck and a half, and the Chinese are still getting 50 cents.
Yep.
And even if they double the value of the yuan, they'd still be working for a dollar an hour or a dollar a day or whatever it is. And so the numbers are that revaluation will not help. It's phony. I found the release that just came out. I'm going to read a little bit of it to you. And this is in regard to the war and what's going on in Iraq. The woman involved is Cindy Sheehan, and she has had her heart ripped into a million pieces by the illegal Iraq war, losing the son she loved more than life itself only 5 days after he arrived in Baghdad. There is nothing more painful or more heartbreaking than a parent losing a child, and for Sheehan to lose her 24-year-old son, Casey, must have been like someone taking her very own heart and soul and without warning, ripping it out and throwing them into the depths of hell. No one should have to experience such pain, but the cold reality of war is that someone's child actually dies, and there are actual parents left living with the hopeless task of trying to cope with the pain. She received an invitation to meet privately with President Bush at the White House 2 months after her son died. The least she could have expected was a bit of compassion or a kind word coming from the heart. But what she encountered was an arrogant man with eyes lacking the slightest bit of compassion, a president totally detached from humanity, and a man who didn't even bother to remember her son's name when they were first introduced. Instead of a kind gesture or a warm handshake, Sheehan said she immediately got a taste of Bush arrogance when he entered the room and in a condescending tone and with a disgustingly loud Texas accent said, "Who we all honor in here today?" His mouth kept on moving, but there was nothing in his eyes or anything else about him that showed me he really cared or had any real compassion at all. This is a human being totally disconnected from humanity and reality. His eyes are empty, hollow shells, and he was acting like I should be proud to just be in his presence when it was my son who died for his illegal war. It was one of the most disgusting experiences I ever had, and it took me almost a year to even talk about it, said Sheehan in a telephone conversation from Washington. And that's the kind of person that we have running our country. And all the neocons with him, and you can throw in plenty of other Republicans and Democrats, they're all a bunch of scum. They don't give a damn about us, and that's a good example.
That is a good example. And
I don't usually read on the air, but I had to read that because it was so well written. And it's just awful. I mean, I just cannot conceive how the American people can just stand there and take these lies day after day after day. We must have a country full of cretins. What can they be thinking about?
Well, we know what they're thinking about. They're thinking about their next football game or their next, where are they going to go fishing, their next boating trip.
I have a piece, Melody, I think we've got time. I got a piece that just came in last night from a subscriber. And I don't have it in front of me here, but I just paraphrase it. And very simply, it's this. This subscriber lives in Los Angeles, went to a La Raza rally. La Raza is the group of Latin Americans or Hispanics or Mexican Americans or whatever was there. I wasn't there. There were thousands of them there, and the police estimated there were about 200 or about probably 180 non-Latin attendees. And it was supposed to be about love and peace and all this stuff, and it wasn't that. And they were talking in nasty tones about their neighbors, who happen to be Anglo-Americans who live in Los Angeles. And they got to the point where they had piñatas. Piñatas are a caricature made of cardboard and usually decoration, and children usually hit them and candy falls out. And they were beating piñatas. And the piñatas characters were white people or Anglos or whatever you want to call them. And if they continue to do such things, they're inviting some terrible trouble. And I think it's a terrible situation when they do that. It's not very good. And that was reported to us by one of our subscribers who attended. And in fact, he was going to take his father and decided not to. And his father was 82 years old. He says, "A good thing I didn't." And, you know, what he said also was they cut off all the bus service into the area. So the only way he could get in was drive-in. And this La Raza rally of several thousand were burning all the cars in the vicinity. And they really didn't know who they were belonged to, but they were burning them. I mean, you know, I don't understand how this sort of thing goes on. I mean, if you burn a car and you're having a riot, you get shot. Well, they don't do that anymore. They just let them riot until they're tired of rioting. That's America today.
You know what? It's amazing.
And incidentally, in my last issue, I talked about the special Pentagon unit. Pardon me? What's that?
Who are you talking to?
Hello?
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 Are you there, Bob?
You.
Are you talking to me?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I'm here. Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me? Hello?
Well, anyway, I just think we've gone crazy. But anyway, I have another piece. Yeah, oh, sure. Pretty good. But listen, there's another piece I picked up today. I talked in my last issue about abduction, rendition, being done by U.S. forces, the Pentagon, the CIA, and bounty hunters. They had a bounty hunter this past week snatch a woman in New Jersey. She convinced him that she wasn't the person she was looking for, and said he just dumped her out of the car on the highway 50 miles from her house. But it's not funny. But the point is, this has gone too far. There should not be any group of people doing that sort of thing. Only policing organizations should do it. They're like vigilantes. They get paid, usually by private parties, but very often by government, to kidnap people. It's unbelievable. And you know, incidentally, as an addendum to that, I recommend that everybody out there get lessons if you already haven't gotten them, and learn how to shoot a gun, and if the state that you live in allows you conceal carry, get it and start carrying, because our government's gone crazy.
You know what's amazing, Bob, is you can have that happening out in L.A., and it doesn't get reported anywhere. So if that's happening out there, what else is happening in this country that's not getting reported, but maybe on a local level, and perhaps it might get out? And you know what? They movie star the kidnappings of these bounty hunters. I mean, heck, there's a program on some idiot that's got hair down to his waist and his... And, I mean, they just look like bikers with tattoos all over them. And they make these people like they're wonderful that they're allowed to go out and pick up people for crimes that they have. And you're right, that used to be the police people's job. And no longer. So you're absolutely right. And if you want
to... You know what the answer is, Melody? The answer is very simple. Get a license to carry.
Yep.
And if they happen to pick you on you... And incorrectly, shoot them. That's what you're supposed to do. And you're fully within your rights to do so.
But you know what, Bob? It's just really incredible that how they are conditioning the people out there that this is okay to do, that it's okay, that these bounty hunters are okay, and that's just society anymore, and it's really, really sad. But again, it's just a conditioning of the people for what is to come. And with that, you need to get a complimentary copy of the International Forecaster, 1-800-375-4188. Some great articles. You've been writing very well, Bob. You've been putting some really good, interesting articles in your newsletter. And as I said earlier, you excel above all. And the only newsletter that you need to have. We're out of time, Bob.
See you Friday.
We'll be back Friday.
Bye-bye.
And 1-800-375-4188 for your complimentary issue to the International Forecaster. Good night. God bless.
Record budget deficits, bankruptcies galore, and the U.S.